Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for giving us this opportunity once again to stand in your midst with the word of the Lord. I want to greet everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, especially those who have come to the church and those who are watching through the online, the live service. Our God is a good God. I want to thank Pastor also for this opportunity for giving me so that I could share the word. So as I was wondering what to share, the Holy Spirit inspired me this parable, which is very familiar to every Christian. So today we are going to see Luke chapter 15. If you can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, we are going to see the parable of the lost son from verse 11 to 32. If you remember, a couple of months back, I spoke about a topic called the heart that God accepts. But today, the Holy Spirit inspired me to talk about the Father's heart. You would have listened a number of sermons on this topic and also from this passage. But let's see what God wants us to learn from this topic today. We have to understand that the Father's heart, if you had listened to all the songs that we sang, it all attributed to many of the qualities of God. But we are going to see what the heart of the Father is and how the heart of the Father is. Let us start the meeting with a word of prayer. Let us start this message with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we humbly come to your presence, O God. O Lord Master, as we, Lord Master, sit at your presence and learn, cover us under your blood, Lord. Let us learn from you. Cover me under your blood, Lord. Help me to speak your word with clarity and what you desire, O Lord. Bless those who are hearing the word. Let them, Lord, be blessed by the message. And let them, Lord, live for you. Take the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so now here, I will just be going through the passage, reading it for you, and trying to explain what God has put in my heart. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. I will read it from 11, and then I will stop appropriately. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. Let me stop there. So here you can see this parable is said by our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says like this, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. So in this passage, there are two sons which the father has. And the younger of the sons says to his father, Lord, Father, give me my portion, give me my inheritance, which belongs to me. And what did the father do? He divided to them his livelihood. The father could have said, no, son, I'm not going to give you right now. But what did the father do there is, the father yielded to the request of the son. We should understand the father never forces anything on everybody, or in other words, the father doesn't force his will here, but yielded to the will of the son. He divided them and he gave him his livelihood. The Lord will never force any decision on us. He has given us a free will to choose what we want. He's not like a policeman who's rounding about to see and monitor our actions. At the same time, when we ask something, It is his discretion whether to give or not. But here you can see that he certainly consented to that. So when he consented to that, what did he do is he divided the portions there. He divided what the son, younger son, had to get and gave it to him. And what did this younger son do? After many days, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. So this was a planned thing. The younger son planned what you have to do. Many days did not pass. That means some days passed after the dividing of the inheritance. And what he did, he went away to a far place. He did not want to be with the father. When he wanted to go far away from the father, he did not want to have the control of the father in his life. So he went far away and he started to make choices of his own. So here we can understand, when we go astray from the Father, when we go astray and walk in our own ways, God is not responsible for the things that we do, even though he understands and even though he knows what is happening. So God is not, that's what I'm saying. If you make a decision, here the younger son made a decision to go away from his father. It was not the fault of the father. The father did not stop him, but respected his decision. You wanted to go away. Okay, he did not say no to that, but he was not happy with that for sure. But he knows and he understands. Similarly, if you take a choice of going away from the Heavenly Father, God is not going to stop you. Even though he knows, even though it may grieve his heart, even though he may be unhappy with the decision, he might know what you are doing, but he did not stop the younger son there. He allowed him to go. And what did the younger son do? He went to a faraway country. And what did he do there is, he wasted his money. He did not use his money wisely, but he used his money in prodigal living. That is what we can see here. And then what happened is, after a period of time, when his money was spent, unexpected storms came in his life. What happened was, there was a famine in the land. There was a time when there was nothing. He had nothing in his hand to do. What did he do? He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. You can see that this younger son did not want to go home because he already took and went away from the father. He didn't want to align himself with the father again. So he went and joined to a citizen of that country. And what did the citizen of that country do? He sent him to the field to feed swines. And what the Bible says like this, the younger son was glad enough to fill his stomach with the pods of the swine. In other words, what the swine ate, he was happy to even fill his stomach with that. How pathetic it is. Because he made a decision of not being under his father's care. He wanted the independence of doing things by himself and not to be controlled by his father. That is the choice that he made. And the father did not force that on him. The father did not bring that on him. But what it was, a decision of the younger son to do that. And so what happened is, when he was eating the pods of the swine, what happened there is, one day he came to himself. Read the 17th verse. Let me read the 17th verse for you. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So here you can see, when he came to his to himself. When he came to realize the mistake, reality struck him. What is the reality? Here he was suffering with hunger. Here he was suffering with not enough food. But his father's, in his father's household, his servants had plenty to eat. That struck him. And so he makes a good statement. He said, what did he say? I will arise and go to my father. I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like your hired servants. So with this attitude, he says to himself all these words, and he decided, and he arose and came to his father. But 20th verse, let me read to you. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell onto his neck and kissed him. So here you can see the father's heart. That is where I'm going to start my message. Okay, so long I gave you just a scenario. The father's heart was filled with love. Even today when we sang these qualities, if you had listened, the father's heart is filled with love. His father's heart, you can see here, but when he was still a great way off, that means when he was very, very far, his father saw him. So what you can see is her father who was earning for his son. He knew that what decision that his son made was not right, but he was still looking out for him. He was still looking and earning for his son. Today also, the Heavenly Father is looking out. If you had gone astray from your life, if you have made decisions in your life by your own and gone away from the Heavenly Father, and if you have come to yourself, and if you have known that you have done a mistake, the Father is looking from afar with a loving heart. He is looking and seeing when you will come back. When my son will come back, he would have waited. It's not one day that he waited. If he had to see him from far off, the father would have waited for many days. The father would have been patiently waiting. Oh, my younger son has gone. Let me see when he's coming back. He would have been waiting. Some days he would have said, oh, I don't see anybody. But that did not lose the hope in his heart, the Heavenly Father. He knew the son which has made a wrong decision. He knew that he would come back one day. So what he is doing is, he is waiting for him. Today also, if you have missed your path and gone away from the Lord is waiting upon you. You have to come back. You have to realize the mistakes you have done because of your choices that you have made. If you have gone away from the Father, let your heart be stirred up today to come back to the Father. The Heavenly Father is seeing where you are and what you are doing. And when he saw him there, what did the Bible says like this? He had compassion. He did not say, the father did not say, hey, you took all my goods, you wasted and you are coming now. He did not say that. A human father would have said like that maybe. You took all my wealth, you wasted my money and you are coming back and again trying to beg me. No, the human father might have said, but what did the Heavenly Father do? When he saw him, he had compassion on him. Our Father has compassion. That is why I said one of the greatest qualities of our Heavenly Father's heart is that he is filled with love. He saw and he had compassion on him. Not only he seeing and having compassion, he did not say, okay, you go, get ready and you come. He did not say. What did the Bible say here? He ran to him. He ran and fell on his neck and had come and kissed him. What a beautiful God we have. What a loving God we have. Even though we make mistakes in life, even though we falter and go away from the presence of the Lord, here is a God who comes with arms open wide, who is willing to embrace us, who is willing to catch us, who is willing to kiss us, who is willing to accept us as we are. The younger son, even though you are in shabby clothes, even though you are in dirty clothes, I don't care for it. The father is not saying, oh, go and wash yourself. He doesn't care for the dirty clothes. He didn't care for the smell of the swine. He didn't care for the things that what has happened. But what did he do? He ran to him. He kissed him. He fell on his neck. He embraced him. Oh, what a loving God we have, we can see. And what did the son say? The son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father did not listen to all the statements that the son had made. When you look at the 19th verse, you can see the son has already made a statement. He already thought that I am going to say, I'm not longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He memorized that all through the way maybe. He would have said, oh, I'm going to say that. But when the father came there, when the father came running and loving and embraced him, he did not want to listen what the son has wanted to say. He did not let the son complete the statement. He did not even allow the son to say the rest of his recitation. But what did the father do? With arms open wide, he embraced him. He loved him. He took him. He accepted him. That is the heart of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father's heart is filled with love for us. He cares for us. We, in spite of our dirty clothes, in spite of our sinful nature, in spite of our evil passions and desires, if we come to Jesus, if we come to the Almighty God, He is willing to accept us with arms open wide, with a loving heart. He is willing to accept, He is willing to embrace and take us as His son, not as a slave, not as a person to be as a hired man, younger son. You are still going to be a son there. That is what, even though you made a decision to waste all the wealth that I had, even though you had a decision that everything which I had was lost, still my love for you, the father would say, is so great. Today also, those who are listening to me, the love that God has on you is so great, irrespective of your circumstances, irrespective of your relationship with God, irrespective of the situations that you go through. God's love for you is so great. If you turn to and come back to Him, He is ready to open and accept you with arms open wide. But did the father stop there? The father did not stop there. When you read the next verse, you can see there, you can see the 22nd and 23rd verse. Let me read it for you. Till 24 I will read. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. So here you can see the father's heart. What can you see here? You can see the father's heart was to make provisions for him. He was in his dirty clothes. He was in a clothes which were not good. He may be having no sandals. He had no identity on him. But what did the father do to him is, he told him, bring out the best robe for my son and put it on him. So the father is concerned about the needs of the son. The father did not tell, okay, you go and you stay there. He did not leave. He made provisions. The father's heart will make provisions for us. What did he do there is, he brought the best robe for him. The best robe, when you read, okay, he need to be dressed because he was smelling because of where he was. So he had to be put on and go, and the father gave him the best robe and also gave him a ring there and sandals on his feet. In other words, all that the Son needed was provided by the Father. This is what I'm coming to say. The Father will make provisions for us on all what we need. Whatever we need in our Christian life, be it physical needs, be it spiritual needs, be it any needs, the Father is caring to make provisions for us. We don't need to worry. The Son may have said, "Oh, what happened to me? Maybe I can just wash my old clothes and put on." The Son would have thought. But what the Father did was, he got him the best robe. He didn't want, the Son did not even want a ring. But what did the Father said? "No, put a ring on him." He gave him sandals. That is which where he could be clean. His feet could be clean. So the Father cared for the Son in all ways. From the minute details, the Father cared and told his servants what to do. So that is what I'm coming to say. Today also, the Lord cares for the minute details in your life and for your needs. He's not a God who is going to turn away from your needs and walk off. He's a heavenly Father who understands what you need. If you need anything, He is going to provide to you at the right time because He has embraced you. If you are under the Father's love and Father's care, He will provide you at the right moment, at the right things in your life. Here the younger son can always testify saying, "When I was with shabby clothes, the Father gave me the best robe." Today also, you can also be reliant on this God that He would provide you the best things in life, the things that you need when you are in your desperate situation, you can see. But let us just read what this robe also means for us. When in Ephesians chapter 1, let me read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It says like this: "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." So here there's a spiritual meaning also when it means that He gave Him the best robe. The Lord, the Father, the Heavenly Father, took out the filthy robe that was upon His Son and asked Him to be placed with the best robe that He can. In our lives too, the Lord God Jesus took away our filthy robe of sin, and what we had through His blood, we have forgiveness of sin. Put on the best robe for us. We are clothed with the blood of Jesus Christ. We are clothed with the best robe on us that can prevent us from sin. By forgiving our sins, that's why I read to you, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace." So because of His grace, there is forgiveness of sin through His blood. And that is the new robe that is being given to every Christian. So you and I, once we were sinners, once we were in filthy robes, but now God has put on the best robe on us, that is through His blood. Removed the sins from us through His grace, gave us forgiveness, and God has blessed us with a new robe, we can see. And what did the Heavenly Father here give? He put a ring on His hand. When you see a ring, it means, it denotes identity. Even though we don't physically use a ring, the ring there was a signet ring for the young son, means that shows a difference. He is not a servant. He has a prominent hold in that household. That is what it shows there. What does the Bible say spiritually about it? Let us read Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says like this. Let me read it for you. "And because you are son, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then a heir of God through Jesus Christ. What happens here is, when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, when we are clothed with the new robe of Jesus, what does Jesus given us as an identity is, His Spirit living in us. We are not using a physical ring to prove our identity. The younger son needed a ring there to prove his identity, maybe. That's what the father decided. But here you can see, we who are living on this earth, we who are living in this world, God has given us His Spirit into us as an identity for others. He has given us that the Holy Spirit which is inside us as an inheritance of our guarantee. The Bible says like this, as an inheritance of our guarantee of the heavenly realms of the heaven, He has given us the Holy Spirit. So what did the Lord give us in spite of a ring? He has given us the Holy Spirit. And what does the Bible says about, He also gave him sandals to wear. What are the sandals means? The sandals are there to protect him from the dust and dirt. Also, it denotes that there's proclamation of the grace that was bestowed on him. What does this mean? If you read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, it talks like this. Well, let me read it for you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, it says like this. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When God gives a sandal, it means that it's not only a protection from the dust and the dirt, but it is also should be used for proclamation. In other words, this young son can use the sandals not only to protect his feet, but he can travel to many places and tell to others that the grace that is bestowed on him. That is why God has given, the Heavenly Father gave him sandals. Similarly, God has given us the sandals in our life is so that we may proclaim this love about Jesus to other people also. Sure, let me come back to the message. Luke chapter 15, when we read here, we can see the Father also said, bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us rejoice and eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. Let me read the 25th verse. Okay, the 25th verse, from the 25th verse, it says like this. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. So here you can see the older son. The older son is coming. Here the father's heart, we saw two qualities of the father's heart. First, we saw the father's heart is a loving heart. The father's heart will make provisions for us. But here, in this instance, you can see the older son coming into the field. And when what did the older son do? He was a very good person. In other words, he worked very hard in the field. He worked in the field very hard. He came there, and you can see he's asking, there's music and dancing. So he's asking there, what is all about this? What is happening? And the servants are saying, your brother has come. And what happens is, because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. And what you can see is, he became angry. This is the sign, I would like to call this older son as a more legalist son. Many times, many people, even in the Christian world, are so legalistic about things they do. I'm not in favor of legalism, but what I'm coming to say here is, the older son did nothing wrong. He was in the field. He was working in the field. He comes home and he got angry. He gets angry. Why did he get angry? Because the father gave him the fatted calf. That is the problem even today. Even today, because the fatted calf is a problem for many people, even in the Christian world. When they see other people getting fatted calves or other people being blessed, some of the people starts grumbling. They start grumbling, why? I have worked hard in the field. I have done so much things for God. Why is the Father doing this? He is blessing other people more. Why he is doing such and such things more differently? Is this not fair? That is the same thing that the older son complained. What did he complain there? He said that my father did not give me even a young goat. I have never transgressed your commandment. And he even slandered his father. He slandered his brother. What did he slander? He said, you have given him everything. Who has spent his livelihood with harlots, and you kill the fatted calf for him. But does the Bible ever say that the younger son spent the time with harlots? No, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible, if you read very carefully, it doesn't say the younger son ever spends time with harlots. It doesn't say. But what is the accusation of the legalist? What is the accusation of the older brother? He says that this son who has spent even the livelihood of all your livelihood with harlots, you have killed the fatted calf for him. This is what will occur to people who are very legalistic. This is not the Father's heart. This is not what God expects from us Christians. What God wants to give, how God wants to bless each person is completely His choice. We should understand, doesn't mean that just because I preach, just because I pray, just because I do, I should be the richest man on earth. No, not like that. The Father knows whom to give the fatted calf, whom and how and when to give, God knows. So there is no way for us to be jealous of other people. Older son, you have no right to question the Father, why the fatted calf is given for the younger brother. What is the Father's heart? Let us see what is the Father's heart. You can see, but 28th verse, but he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So father came out and pleaded with him. The father knew that this person, the older son, is right in certain instances, not everything. He is working hard in the field, he knows. He knows that this person is a sincere person, he knows. But he did not support all the accusations there. But what did the father come? He went there and started pleading with him. The father's heart wants you to accept his will. When the father's heart wants you to accept his will, when the older person, the older son, when you are living in the father's house, you have to know that the father is in complete authority. The father decides what to do. The father has complete authority, and the older son has to realize that it is his will whom to give, what to give. Similarly, children of God, today the Heavenly Father wants us to accept His will in our life. What is the will here concerning His younger son? The Heavenly Father wanted to give him the fatted calf, but not so for the older son. You may think that is very unfair, but what did the Father say? Son, 31st verse, you say, Son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. What does this mean is, the father expects his son to accept his will there. The father does not expect him to go away from him. The father says, yes, you may be correct in certain instances, but today it is my will that I should kill the fatted calf and be merry, and we should be happy for them, because the son who was lost is now alive again. The brother who was dead is now again with us. That is what is the right attitude of a Christian. What is the Father expects us is, we should accept his will in our life. Do not compare Christian life with other persons. Accept God's will in your life, God's plan in your life, as he intends to be. And then what will happen is, you will rejoice in the love of the Father. You will rejoice in the caring nature of the Father. But also you should understand, one more thing let me say and conclude. What is the thing is, the Father expects the younger son to be a son. He doesn't expect the younger son again to become a slave. He doesn't expect the younger son to go again away from his house. Today also, God, you and me who are saved by his grace, you and me who come into his household, God does not expect us to go back. There is only two scenarios which a person can go back away from God. If anybody has backslidden, those who are listening to me, if any of you are backslidden, there is only two reasons where you can go back. One is, you are not in your real senses. You do not know you were eating the pots of the swine and you came back to God, and through his grace you are saved. You didn't realize that, or you did not understand the grace of the Father. Only these two scenarios. If you didn't understand the grace and love of the Father, you will go back to your own sin. If you are not in your right mind, you can go back to your sin. But what is the expectation of the Father for the younger son? You have to be with me, even though you are my son. My will be done in that household. Today, what is God expecting us from us is, we have to accept his will. Let me conclude saying like this: the Father's heart is a loving heart. The Father's heart will make provisions for us. The Father wants you to accept his will. We need to be steadfast in the Lord, understanding his grace, and live a life which we can glorify the Father's heart. So let us accept God's will in our life. Let us not compare our lives with other people, but accept what God intends to do in our lives, because he's a loving God, because he's a God who can make provisions for us. And may the good Lord bless you with these words. Thank you.